or I have to question is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Friends, it's Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 15. Hi, I hope everybody's doing all right. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm doing okay. I have to actually start with, you know, not a day goes by that I do something that I probably shouldn't, because, you know, I'm human. I love to not do something. There's nothing that I love more than to not do something I'm supposed to do. I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't know. I guess it makes me feel like a rebel in my own head, some kind of ridiculous reason. However, sometimes I have to actually apologize for something that I should have done. And it's because I made a big stink about at the beginning, like the first several podcasts when I started this thing, about how, hey, if you have any questions or if you want to contact me, stillsoberpod@gmail.com, you know, send me an email. And then what did I do? I didn't check my fucking email for like, what, it's like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I just completely spaced, and I'm really, really sorry because I got an email from someone. So, and I just responded today, and I felt like a dick. I just so I need to kind of address some things that were asked of me, and I'm not going to really read. I didn't ask him if I could read his email, and I don't really want to read the email that was sent to me, because a lot of it's just like, hey, we're, you know, the connection that that he and I have in our past, because, you know, grew up in the same town and stuff. So I'm not gonna go into like personal details, but essentially he's asking me because he can relate to some of the things that I've said, because he also went to a rehab that was a 12-step based program, and it didn't fit right. And one of the things that, let's see. All right, I'm going to read this line. For God's sakes, on my last day and the last day of others leaving this rehab, everyone passed around their AA books so people could write in them like it was yearbook or they were back in high school. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I kind of get it, though. I get it, like, being in that spot, you know, you want to, you know, it's weird how things are really important to you at the moment, and then later you get back in the real world and you're like, well, that's kind of dumb. It's not like you're going to cherish, you know, oh, look at all these other addicts that signed my AA book, you know. But at the time, I see how that's important. But it's kind of ridiculous. If you're not into it, it's really dumb. They were like, I remember people getting really upset when I was in the SMART program, the Travis County, like, rehab, when I was in jail light, as I call it, jail light. There were so many things that made you just angry at the system and at authority in there. That don't, just dumb little things that, like, why can't we get a second cup of coffee? What? This is injustice, man. Only one cup of coffee? So, yeah. Anyway, the thing about it is that the biggest problem that he has with the 12-step program was the making amends. step nine, if you're looking at the, if you're following along with your big book or small book, if you've got a tiny one. The making amends part. Because step eight, for those of you who don't know, and thank you for listening if you've got absolutely no interest or knowledge of recovery at all. Step eight is you make a list of all the people you've harmed and all the shit that you've done to people. I guess that's weighing on you. And then on step nine, you make amends if possible. Which they say if you don't, if trying to make amends is going to hurt that person even more, like if you're going to bring up some shit, that's, you know, people have moved on, but if you bring it up and it's just going to make things worse, you know, you probably don't want to do that. And the thing about it is that what I've always hated about it is it's just disingenuous to come up to somebody and go, hey, you know, I want to make things right because that's what the instructions say, versus somebody that needs to make things right. And I think if you're going to do the 12-step program, I think just because you made the list, like, you're going to have a sponsor, so you should really talk to your sponsor about it. And because there's a fine line between doing some, you know, this is dumb, don't do it this way, versus I don't want to, you know, because it's hard. And like a lot of things, you have to walk that line to figure out, do you need to do something that's genuine? Are you not doing it because it's disingenuous, or are you not doing it because it's hard, and hard things you try to avoid because you're an addict, alcoholic, and we don't like to do things that we don't want to do. So it's really kind of an interesting line you got to walk. It just seems to me that the best way to do it is to you know, try to right the wrongs that you do have guilt on, that you know, like if you really analyze it. I think a lot of people get so caught up, they make this list of everything that they could think of, and then they're like, well, I gotta cross everything off, like, you know, my name is Earl style, you know, duh, the karma can help me, you know, that kind of thing, where really it should be a matter of what things that you do you need to make right. Because a lot of the things that you've done to people, they're gonna be fine with if you get your fucking shit together. Like, I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, I didn't get my $10 back, or I didn't get this back, but you know what? He's getting better, and you know, that's enough. They're not sitting there going, fuck that guy, I gotta get an I'm sorry, or I hope he dies and burns in hell. I don't think that people are like that. I think that some people are like that, and if those people are like that, well then fuck them. You don't need to apologize to them. They're bitter and they should die alone. Or not. But yeah, that's, you know, it's definitely, I don't know, I think it's worth a shot doing, but doing it with a clear conscience, that, and also don't do it in a, you know, while I'm on my ninth step, oh, hey, so that I can get approval from my sponsor to move on to the next level, please accept my apology. Just maybe don't do that. That would suck. The other thing that that he sent in the email to me was about, and I think I touched on it briefly like several episodes ago, but it was, he thinks that his parents really blame themselves for, oh good, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. Oh good, thank you, Presidential Alert, from the idiot in charge. Sorry, where was I? Man, I hope he doesn't start using presidential alerts on our phone like fucking Twitter. Fucking jackass. So, back what I was saying. Feels that his parents kind of blamed themselves. Like what they, he said that he's been asked what does he think that his parents could have done differently. And I think a lot of people, and that's just ignorance. And that's but a little bit of that's selfish, like self-interest coming out. I think that people will ask you, you know, what do you think your parents could have done differently? Because they have a fear of like, well, I don't want my kid to grow up like you. And that's kind of a dick move. I mean, they don't really mean that, or do they? But I think they do. I think inside that their fear, their personal fear is that they want to avoid whatever mistakes your parents did, that you ended up that way. And that is a bunch of horse shit. Because, I mean, I became a junkie and an alcoholic because that's how I'm built, and because I made choices is because I'm selfish, because I wanted to do stuff. It had nothing to do with how my parents raised me that I can think of, because they did the best that they could and they did a good job. I grew up in a loving home, very supportive, and I was active all through school. So unless you think that because my parents had me do a bunch of activities and work hard in school and get good grades and do sports and academic stuff and Boy Scouts and all this other stuff that actually set like this foundation and this moral code that I live by now, that I've benefited, that actually helped me come back to it. When I got sober and started working on it, I had this base that I could come back to, that I knew right from wrong, and that it actually benefited me. But if you think that is the reason that I ended up really diving into booze and drugs later, then by all means, why don't you be shitty to your kid while you raise him? why don't you do not what my parents did? Why don't you ignore your kid, just be selfish, look at your phone all the time, teach them that quitting is okay? Why don't you do that and see if they turn out okay? Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's all about what you do versus just a genetic, you know, a genetic build. It's just, it's dumb. And also, you know, but I think it's going to be natural for parents when their kid goes through something. It's going to be natural that they're going to blame themselves. I mean, I don't know what else to do at that point, but to just reassure, you know, after you get through rehab and you start cleaning up, you know, just to, you may want to reassure your parents that they didn't do anything. Like, you know, by taking personal responsibility, you're like, look, this is just life, man. You know, at some point you have to, you know, it's their responsibility. You know, we did this. You know, it's real easy to blame your parents for something. But, you know, I think, you know, deep down inside, you can tell, you know, your parents did the best they could. You know, if they didn't do the best you could, maybe you could have put a little effort in there, pops. You know, yeah, you could do that. But I think a lot of times, so I think anybody asking, you know, what do you think your parents can do differently? I'm like, hey, why don't you, I don't know, why don't you go Google that shit and leave me alone? There's a good response. Anyway, buddy, thanks for your email, and sorry for the delayed response. You know, send me another one if you have any other questions. I'll try to be better about actually answering shit. It's bad. It's like I've been so busy just, you know, with my fantasy football. No, things have been going all right. So, yeah, it's real easy to kind of when you have a secondary email, it's really easy to go, oh, I didn't click the tab. And that's, but that's bullshit. So I'll be better about that. Another thing I got, I talked to an acquaintance of mine who said that they're trying to, you know, they're going to meetings because they find them beneficial to, you know, to connect with other people and to hear their stories. And that's, I mean, that's the benefit of going to AA meetings is you don't feel as alone when you're struggling with shit, and connecting with other people and hearing their stories. Some people don't like it. Other people, it does benefit them. But the biggest problem that they have with AA, as with a lot of people, is the higher power shit. You know, it's like, what do I do? You know, this is a program, of course, that's over 80 years old. So it's kind of dated with the wording. But regardless, you can still sense that some people have something that you want when you go there. Like, not everybody, but there are some people that are doing well in the program, and you're wondering, how can I get that without sounding like a robot or getting in something that feels very cult-like? And it feels cult-like because it definitely has the symptoms of a cult, but it's not, you know, it's in this... You know, it's just one of those things where it's going to sound that way. It's going to feel that way because people will read out of the AA big book and they'll quote the same mantras, and it just sounds very repetitive. But what it comes down to about the higher power, the whole point of having a higher power is realizing and the realizing powerless. That was the other thing, is like, I'm powerless. And it's, well, I mean, if you're truly powerless, how will you ever get sober? Because you can't ever change. So you're not technically completely in the current state that you're in, you're powerless. And that's the whole idea. The idea is to get the, it's all about human psychology. It's about getting, as they say in Fight Club, it's about quit trying to control everything and just let go. That's really what it is. And that's why I love to quote that versus AA sayings. Because it really is, the idea is to find something outside of yourself to focus on. And, I mean, your higher power could be reality. It could be the reality of the situation in the universe outside of you, that you're very tiny. You're not God. So stop controlling everything. That's really the whole idea of getting a higher power, is to get something outside of yourself. And the reality of the situation is, you alone in your current mind state cannot stop fucking drinking or doing drugs. So that you've got to, the initial step before you can start correcting the issue or getting better, is you've got to just step back and go, all right, fucker, you can't control everything. You've just got to, you've got to, the reality is bigger than me. Or the emotional connection you have with people that are trying to help, that's bigger than you. Is that the love and emotion, that the connection is bigger. You got to get something. That's, if you can buy into the program and get over that, because I've had people that do it. That's a big obstacle. But really, like, my biggest obstacle for a long time was nitpicky. It was like the idea that they called it a disease when it was more like a mental disorder kind of a deal. So like calling addiction a disease was irritated the shit out of me. But I was being nitpicky, because whatever you're going to call what I have doesn't matter. It's still going to kill me if I don't fucking do something. So that was it. So So it's weird that it's you've got to find a way to quit being so specific about something, about like having something keep you from getting the treatment and listening to what you need to hear to start working on yourself. You've got to figure out a way to get over that. If you're going to, if you like 12-step programs, but that one thing is bothering you, you got to figure out how to get around that. And the way you get around the whole God thing is you realize that this is a dated program, but that the psychology, because I mean, there were psychologists that put this, that were involved in putting this together. So they were on the right track about something, about, you know, this kind of thing, about getting out, about letting go of trying, you know, your control issues and being, putting yourself in, you know, and what you want to do, you know, and your desire over everything else, you know, you got to let that shit go. And the thing about it is that, and the other thing is that you can't, if you're going to do the 12-step program and you're going to go to AA or NA or CA or fill in the blank A, when you go, you can't look at other people who are not doing it right, or who have issues. You can't let that affect you. All right? Because there's some people that are very, that are, they're sheep. No, but they are. Like they jump right in, and all of a sudden AA becomes their new drug. All of a sudden the pride of their sobriety is the most important thing, and they're still fragile, and you can tell that they're still just hanging on, but the one thing that drives them is getting that next chip and getting to the next level and getting their next chip and the bragging rights and all. Yeah, I'm part of you guys, look at my, you know, coin. And the problem with them is that at some point they're going to fuck up and they're not going to come back, because the shame of not having that bragging right anymore is going to keep them away. But the thing is, you can't worry about those people. That you know, you got to worry about you. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're not going to be able to convince them, but you just have to, you know, because the pride was their drug of choice, and you just have to fucking, you have to make sure that you don't become that's the important thing. That's why what's always been important to me is, I mean, it's impressive when I sit there and I go, fuck, I've been sober 6 years. That's great. But also, the date is, for me, the date is arbitrary. It's about a state of mind. It's not about collecting the amount of time. That's not important to me. It's, you know, time is a flat circle, man. Like, it's just, it's an arbitrary, it's got to be a state of mind. That's kind of what I wanted to do. And that, I mean, that's what really helped with me is that just changing, you know, I made it arbitrary. Well, and the psychological aspect of it for me was really about rebelling. As long as I could get become sober and work on my own recovery and rebel against this rigid text of an, you know, the big book or whatever, that kind of the rebel in me liked that I had to work on myself, but I wasn't, you know, in spite, I wasn't doing that. That actually kind of motivated me more, and I don't know how healthy that is, but, you know, that I was rebelling against the 12-step program, that, you know, kind of the, yeah, I did it without that. I did it on my own. Well, I really didn't do it on my own. I did it because I had to, and I, because I was put in a position to where I had to focus on me. And, you know, I had counselors and had to take, you know, therapy, group therapy and individual therapy sessions. While I was, you know, I didn't do it on my own. That's an ego thing. But that helped motivate me at the beginning, at least, that I was like, yeah, I'm going to just do this. And then at some point you just go, all right, I did get help. It wasn't just me. I can't just pat myself on the back. Look how badass I am. But yeah, I really got off the topic that I was talking about, but yeah, that's really it. If you really like the 12-step program, don't let the God thing trip you up. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, don't listen to fucking idiots who are like, just pick anything. This doorknob can be the higher power. Those people are stupid. That's not, pick something that's significant, like the universe or reality or, you know, the fellowship, like a connection and like a group type of thing. Pick something else that's legitimate. Like reality's a good one. Just the reality is bigger than me. So you do that, and then you can, that way that's not tripping you up, and you can actually focus on the psychology that's embedded in those 12 steps that are like, okay, this is making sense. Okay, I see why this helps, and this is why I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump through the hoops to get me started so that I can start changing my thinking and not do the same behavioral patterns, and, you know, and that way, and then I can stop doing, going to the same haunts that tempted me. Like, I can change different aspects of my life, and I can start, you know, start anew and do different things and create new patterns for my life and get better that way. But the first thing you got to do is you got to get over the thing that trips you up. You got to look at it and figure out what it is that trips you up and why. There's a lot of, I mean, we're at this point, you know, AA's been around for 80 plus years, and the internet's been around for a while. And there's a lot of fucking articles you can Google. If you Google like atheist, higher power, AA type, and just start kind of looking through, because that's what I did. I just like looked through like a few columns, blogs that people have written, and out of like a six or seven of them, I found three of them that were really, I was like, that's a good fucking point. The other three were just ridiculous people. That sounds about right. You're gonna come across and go, well, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. Oh, that person's a bad atheist. A very judgy atheist. And then, oh, there, that's a reasonable atheist. You know, you just need a look. And that's the best thing that that's the thing that I can recommend that you do. So, well, good talk, everyone. I'm kind of glad. I'm really glad that I didn't have really any personal shit I was going to ramble about or meaningless gripes about scooters or anything else that's, you know, little petty things that are going on. I'm glad I could actually talk about recovery related shit today. It was, I don't know, just the acquaintance of mine that kind of brought up that this could actually benefit people outside of me, even though I think this benefits me more than anybody else. But it's nice to be reminded that this, especially with being contacted by email and stuff, that people do like this and that they get something out of it. Because it's really easy to just kind of sit there and go, well, everybody's got a goddamn podcast. Everybody's doing something who wants to be the center of attention. You know, it's like, oh, it's the Me Show. Check out the Me Show on YouTube. The Me Show on Twitter. The Me, you know, validate me. Like and subscribe. Like, it's very easy to just go that there's, you know, everybody wants to be famous and everybody wants to be, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in that and realize, well, this doesn't fucking matter. So why am I doing it? Not that I've been thinking about that. I just, you know, about this, because I'm going to do this regardless. Once people get tired of podcasts and like, I'm sick of it, I'm going to still be doing this, going, hey, welcome to the John Raven half hour every week. I've wanted to do this since I was a kid, be a DJ. All right. So I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you're still listening. Some of you, if, if you don't care about the recovery shit, don't worry. I'll probably ramble about something unrelated next week, just life in general. But I'm glad that that you guys are enjoying it. I'm glad that I'm getting people that listen every week. And I like that you spend a half an hour with me. It's good for me as well. I hope you enjoy it. I'll see you guys next week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober, and I'm John Raven. Bye, guys.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Cold beer. My heart.